I want to tell you about a friend of mine. She recently went to one of these karaoke parties. Their small group in their church hosted this for all the people who had birthdays that month. And I have no idea why they went to a karaoke party, because quite honestly, nobody in the group could sing at all except for our friend. But nobody knew that she had a great voice. And so as the night is unfolding, everybody's taking their turn, and they are just like brutally awful. The room is dead. I mean, it's just a harsh environment. Well, it comes turn for her to go sing, and she kind of plays it coy, like, I don't know. And, you know, she knows she can sing. They don't know. I don't know. But all the other ladies in the group have just, you know, embarrassed themselves, and they are not going to have her not singing. So they grab her by the arm and they pull her up toward the stage. She realizes, I haven't even picked a song. And so she kind of, she's getting pulled up to the platform. She looks over her shoulder and tells her husband, you know, select something for me. And so he looks at the menu on the table and sees something from the 70s. It's in the disco era. He knows his wife loves that kind of music. So he types in the song, and then the sweet sound of the Bee Gees. As she hears that melody, I know this one. She gets excited. She looks down at the monitor and she starts to sing the lyrics that are popping up on the screen. And the room is feeling it. I mean, she can sing. She can sing so well. And people are like, you know, finally somebody that we can hang with. And they're grooving. She's grooving. Her confidence is building. And so she decides to leave the monitor behind and just go from the memories that she has of this song in her childhood. And so she's singing it. It gets to the chorus, and as, man, that thing is building, she just leans back and she belts out, bald-headed woman! Bald-headed woman to me! And the crowd's like going, did she just say bald-headed woman? And they were so groovy, now they're like, turn, boo! Because even though she's saying the words bald-headed woman, the song is actually, if you know it, say it with me, more than a woman. Yeah, have you ever gotten the lyrics to a song wrong? Have you ever done this? It is so embarrassing, whether anybody knows it or not. You're like, I cannot believe this whole time I have thought it's this when it's really that. If you've ever had that experience, you are not alone. In fact, I found a list of some of the most misunderstood lyrics. And so I'm going to play a little sampling for you. You're going to see at the top what people think they've heard. Below it is the actual lyrics. So take a look at this. These are some of the most misunderstood lyrics. Watch this.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
I've got two tickets to paradise. Well, you may be right. I may be crazy.
That may have been right. I don't know. I know. If you've ever gotten the lyrics wrong, you know, you think you know it, and you'd argue with anybody. No, this is what it is. Then you have this clarifying moment, and you, oh, no, that's what it really says. In life, we all kind of think we know what time it is. We think we know what we know, and we think we maybe have taken things like as far as we can go. We've peaked out in life. We don't have anything else to know or to do. I mean, we got it going on. And all of a sudden we realize, wait a minute, there might be more. There might be other things that God wants to show us. There are other things that God wants to do in us and through us and as a church family. We can even think we know the lyrics. Man, been there, done that. And in fact, I think it's never going to be any better than what it's been. We all can have these moments where we think we know, and then all of a sudden the Lord has a clarifying moment with us, and we realize, no, there's actually more. That we can reach further, that we can go higher than what we've been before. Today, I want to talk to you about reaching higher. I want to talk to you about reaching higher. Sometimes the next thing that God has for us is beyond where we've been. And if we're going to step into what God has for us, we're going to have to reach for it. I've got two daughters. They now 23, 21, just had birthdays. But when they were about 8 and 6, they conspired to raid the coin jar that I had on the top shelf in my closet. And so to pull off this little caper, they had to climb wire shelving. You know that kind, like Home Depot, kind of flimsy kind of. They had to climb this wire shelving in order to reach this coin jar. Now here's the problem. It's not rated to hold little girls, right? And so at the time they get to that jar, it breaks loose from the wall and all the shelving comes down, the clothes are down. So when I get home from work, I go upstairs to change clothes, I open the closet door, and everything is laying in the floor. No change left, clothes, everything right there. So I walk downstairs, there are two little girls watching TV, and on the coffee table is a stack of popsicle wrappers and ice cream wrappers, to which I quickly deduce there's been a rendezvous with the neighborhood ice cream truck that trolls through the neighborhood. And so I look at them and said, hey, girls, in my closet, everything is pulled off the walls. It's all in the floor. And they looked at me and went, huh, that's weird. Yeah, it is. Sometimes, if we're going to reach for those higher things, we may have to get creative. We may have to do what we've never done. We may have to go where we've never been before. We may have to team up with someone to help us. But when we decide we're going to reach for higher things, let me tell you what, it is worth it. And reaching is always going to be demanding. There's going to be a little bit of risk. It's going to take more than maybe we put out before. But the highest expense is not what we expend as we reach for what is higher. The greatest life expense is the cost we pay of regret when we don't reach for anything. So today I'm going to talk to you about reaching for higher things. We're going to talk about spiritual things. Maybe the things you need to reach for are spiritual things, like refiring your spiritual passion. Maybe stepping into a small group, learning how to share your faith, going on a mission trip, being a leader in your church, not just the person that shows up, but contribute and volunteer and lead. Maybe God is going to take you to some career heights. And so what God has for you is going after that dream job, starting your own business. Maybe you'll find yourself setting a goal at work where you strive for an industry award. Maybe it's going back to school. Maybe the higher things that God has for you are family related. And maybe what you need to stretch for and reach for today is a fresh start with a spouse. Or maybe you need to find yourself making peace with someone in your past. Or maybe you need to go through adoption or foster care or reconnect with a prodigal. I don't know what God has for you, but this I do know. If you're breathing, God's got something higher for you. And you're going to have to reach in order to receive it. So I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to open with me to Joshua chapter 14. It's a relatively easy book of the Bible to find. Just go to the front of the Bible, book of Genesis, and go 6 books of the Bible, and you're going to run into Joshua, all right? So Joshua chapter 14 is going to be our passage as we talk about reaching for higher things. Now, the book of Joshua itself is a great book to read with all kinds of life and leadership lessons. But as you come to chapter 14, we get a glimpse of a person who's going to reach for something higher. His name is Caleb. And Caleb's going to approach the leader of the nation of Israel and going to call out for his higher thing. Look at verse 6. It says, Caleb said to Joshua, "Remember what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to explore the land of Canaan. I returned and gave an honest report, but my brothers who went with me frightened the people from entering the promised land. Now, if you don't know the backstory, Moses sent 12 people into the land to just survey it and get a feel for this place that God had promised to them. 10 of the people sent in came back and said, it's everything God promised it would be. However, it's filled with giants in their fortified cities. There's just no way we can take that place. There were two people who came back and gave a courageous report. Caleb is one of those. Continue reading. For my part, I wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. So Moses solemnly promised me, the land of Canaan on which you were just walking will be your grant of land and that of your descendants forever because you wholeheartedly followed the Lord my God. Now you can see the Lord has kept me alive and well as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Today I am 85 years old. I am as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. Give me that high ground. Some translations say, give me that mountain that you promised me. You'll remember that as scouts, we found the descendants of Anak living there, the giants in these great walled towns. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord said. Today we're talking about reaching for higher things. And Caleb's life and his story is a great example. There are so many actionables that we can draw from to learn how we can reach for our higher ground. So we're going to look at four things in Caleb's life that speak to us. And we're going to put them in the form of declarative statements. These are four things that we can purpose to be and to do as we experience reaching for higher things. Here's the first one. I have to be focused on my mountain, the higher thing that God has for me. Okay? I got to be focused on my mountain, the higher thing that God has for me. Verse 12, look at that again. So give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. Caleb is so clearly focused on the high country, the high ground that God has given to him. Now, if we're going to take and reach the thing that God has for you, the thing that God has for me, we have to sharpen our focus. We have to focus in on the thing God has for us. Here's a couple of clarifications to help us with that. One is, don't be distracted by what God has for others. See, God has things for you. He's got high ground for you, but he also has things for others. If we're not careful, we are far too distracted by what God is giving to somebody else instead of what God is giving to us. When we take a look at this story of Caleb's life, Joshua and Caleb are often mentioned together. Joshua is the better known leader of the two. But when we come to Numbers 13 and 14, which give us the story of these two coming back and giving their report along with the other spies, we learn that it's Caleb who's the more vocal. Caleb appears in the story to be the stronger leader. We read as the 10 spies discourage the people from taking the place of promise. It's Caleb in Numbers 13:30 who tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And he says to them, let's go at once and take the land. He said, we can certainly conquer it. Now, here's what's interesting about that. Is Joshua is silent. Now, I think he certainly agrees with Caleb, but he's quiet and he's in the background, and it's Caleb who is the one who looks more leader-like. And yet, when it came time for Moses to pick a leader to take his place, to promote somebody into the responsibility of being the president of Israel, Moses picks Joshua. Come on, how easy it would have been for Caleb to go, say what? I was the one who quieted the people. I was the one who stood up and said, come on, we can do this thing. And you're picking the guy who was quiet and in the backstage? I mean, he could have easily been hijacked by what God had for Joshua, but instead he stayed focused on what God had for him. Give me my mountain. If we're not careful, we'll become too preoccupied by what God is giving somebody else, kind of looking, I want that. Hey, I want that. Why can't I have that? Instead of the thing that God has for us. You've got to stay focused. You can't be distracted by what God is doing. You'll never reach for higher things as long as you're looking what God has given somebody else and not what he's given you. Here's a second clarification on that, is we have to be careful that our reach for something higher doesn't stretch us beyond our calling. Caleb wanted what God wanted for him. It was big, it was bold, it was awesome, but it's what God had for him. I go to conferences, church conferences, regularly, a couple times a year, and there's often a theme in the conference, and you get all, you know, pumped up and excited because you see how this incredible thing is being showcased. And if you're not careful, you'll walk out of that place with an ambition to just kind of replicate, to copycat what you see someone else doing instead of having clarity about what God is giving you to do. Now, God is incredibly creative. We are made in his image. We can think big and we can have big ideas, but I'm telling you, sometimes the ideas that we can come up with will stretch us beyond where we are called to be and what we are called to do. And we have to check ourselves. Every year that American Idol has been on, I've always been fascinated by the people who try out. Because invariably there are people who try out who say, this is my dream to sing, who clearly are not called to sing. And when someone tells them, I don't think this is for you, they get mad. And they go storming out of the room. Why? Because someone has messed up their dream. Sometimes we can dream or we can reach for things that are beyond what God is calling us to be and to do. And so you have to be focused on the mountain. You got to be focused on the high ground that God has for you. That's number one. We got to focus on that. Number two, here's what we can learn from Caleb, is how I reach for higher things matters. How I reach for higher things matters. Verses 8 and 9, it says that Caleb wholeheartedly followed the Lord. Notice that. He wholeheartedly followed the Lord. The word Caleb in Hebrew, it means loyal. And interestingly enough, it's the exact same word that's assigned for a dog. So the word Caleb in Hebrew is his name, but it's also Caleb means dog, which makes sense because dogs have loyal character, right? It's amazing. You can beat a dog, and then you can sweet talk that dog and it'll jump right in your lap because it just has loyal character. How many dog people are in the room? All right, all over. Let me ask you, how many cat people in the room? Four of you. Okay. Maybe you've heard this, right? So the story goes that a dog will look at its owner and think, you pet me, you feed me, you shelter me, you love me, you must be God. While a cat thinks, you pet me, You feed me. You shelter me. You love me. I must be God. Huh? Dogs have loyal character, like their namesake, Caleb. Now, the scripture says he wholeheartedly went after the Lord and that which the Lord had for him. That means that he reached with a lot of character. See, here's the thing. Sometimes we just think it's just about all, just go for that higher thing. But how we reach for that higher thing matters. Some point people will reach higher by stepping on other people. Some people will reach higher by cheating. Some people will reach for that higher thing just kind of playing to win at all costs. But Numbers 14, when it describes Caleb, here's what it says about him. He had a different spirit in him. And when it comes to us, we need, when we're reaching for higher things, we need to have a different spirit in us. That means that what we go after with a sense of humility, a dependency on the Lord, a reliance on the Holy Spirit to do what we cannot do ourselves, to go in the grace of God, to go in the power of God. Reaching means we have to reach with a different kind of spirit in us. And here's why that makes a difference. Because watch this, the character that you build while you're reaching is the character you're going to need if you get there. The reason sometimes people can't get to a higher place and stay to a higher place is they haven't developed the character that they need to walk that thing out at that next place that God has for them. Lottery winners. It's a remarkable study. People who win the lottery and just get an incredible amount of money dumped on them go bankrupt within like 2 years. The Extreme Home Makeover, do you remember that show? Where they would come in and they would redo somebody's house and then they would move that bus and then they would hand them the keys to this brand new house. The dirty little secret to that show was about 75% of the people who had a house given them lost it. Why? Did not develop what was needed to pay higher taxes, to keep up with bigger maintenance bills and issues. All the time, you know, we see celebrities who make it big quick, and they don't build their character on a climb to a higher level, and when they get there, man, they're just a disaster. Little Lindsay Lohan. Come on. Wasn't she precious in Parent Trap? And just didn't build the character to be able to sustain her when she got all that publicity. Or Crazy Charlie Sheen. I mean, an acting family. I mean, he had so much handed to him. And just Kardashians, pick one, right? I mean, you just... See, how we reach for things matters because we're building the character that's going to be necessary to sustain us as we step into that thing that God has for us. Here's the third thing we can learn from Caleb. Here's our third declaration. It's never too late for me to reach for something higher. It's never too late. Sometimes we get the impression that, you know, we've kind of come through a season of life and it's like, man, I've missed the boat. I missed my opportunity. It's too late. What we learned from Caleb, it is never too late. Look at verse 10. Today, I am 85 years old. I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me on that journey, and I can travel and fight as well as I could then. I seriously do not believe that he's delusional, like he's going, I'm 85 years old. I can still fight. I think he's really saying, man, listen, I can still fight. Because when you've got a burning desire to reach what God has for you, that'll keep your heart young. I love the story of people who just won't give up. Kurt Warner was a quarterback for a Super Bowl winning team, St. Louis Rams at that particular time. Do you know his story? I mean, he always had a football dream, but he wasn't drafted coming out of college. He went to play in the Rinky Dink Arena Football League, and when that closed, he was stocking shelves at a grocery store, but he was still reaching higher. He was still throwing passes. He was still working out. He was still keeping himself in shape because he just refused to believe that it was over. He just kept that dream alive in his heart. And then the St. Louis Rams called him when he was stocking food in a grocery store. And when they called, man, he stepped into the moment. He made the most of it. And look, man, he won the Super Bowl, the MVP. It's just never too late for God to do what he wants to do in our lives. For mountains that matter, you just keep reaching. Don't give up. Don't give up on God. Don't count God out. Here's the fourth thing that we learn from Caleb. And that is, I refuse to fear failure. I refuse to fear failure. Most people won't reach for something higher because they are afraid, what do I do if I don't make it? If I reach and there's nothing there. And we get crippled by our fears. When you look at verse 12, Caleb says, if the Lord is with me, notice that, if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord says. We sometimes think we have to have a guarantee of success before we can reach or move because we don't want to fail. Caleb here acknowledges that he's going to have an uphill climb. He's going to be fighting giants in fortified cities. And he knows if God is with him, he can get it done. But there's no part of him that is so presumptive to say, I know I will not fail. He's if. You know what? It's in the if moments of life that we experience just the faithfulness of God. The strong hand of the Lord to come behind us and to enable us and to empower us and put his shoulder behind what we're doing. It's in those if moments that we learn the true nature of faith. So failure is always an option. One of my favorite movies is Apollo 13. I love how they document the whole story behind that botched lunar mission, and there's one particular character, his name is Gene Kranz, who's a flight director for NASA, and in that movie, he makes this declaration that, you know, failure is not an option. We've got to bring these guys home, and it's a stirring moment in the movie. I mean, the hair on your arm stands up as he declares, we will get this done. Failure is not an option. It's a great movie moment. It's just not good life advice. Because failure is always going to be an option. We just have to choose not to fear failure, but trust God in the moment to lean on him and let him lead us to where and to what he's called us to be and to do. Don't fear failure. Have a holy resolve in your heart that you know that no matter where you are in your chapter of life, God is not finished with you. God has higher things for you, and you are determined with all of your heart to go after what God has for you. Reach for higher things. Turning point. Reach for higher things. He was 30 years old. He had a birthday party coming, and he was excited about it. His dad's present came early, and he was super stoked because his dad was a great gift giver. When he graduated from high school, his dad gave him a car. When he graduated from college, his dad wiped out all of his college loans. When he got married, his dad helped him and his wife with a down payment for a house. Now he's turned 30. It's a big one. And dad's present came early. And he couldn't wait to open it up. In fact, he chose before anybody else showed up for the party to kind of go back to his room to open his dad's gift because he just couldn't imagine what was going to be in the box. He first of all thought, well, maybe it's going to be airline tickets to Europe because I've always wanted to kind of backpack across Europe. Maybe that's what it is. Hey, dad and I always talked about this, you know, fishing excursion in Alaska. Maybe it's that trip. I don't know. Maybe it is a, you know, a new house. I don't know. My dad is a great gift giver. I cannot wait to open this gift. And so he went off into his room and he opened it. And he looked inside. And he pulled out a mirror. First impression was, surely there is a car that goes with this. But then he reached for the tag and he started reading what his dad wrote. Son, today you turn 30. I want you to know how proud I am to see how you've turned out. You've worked so hard to complete your education. You've applied yourself nobly to your profession. You've become a dedicated husband and father. You have so much, my son. But I want to warn you with this present of a danger. It's the tragedy of living life looking in the rearview mirror. When I was your age, I could see so many open doors and opportunities before me. Each one had great potential, but also with each a great risk. And out of fear, I passed on many of those opportunities, most of them. And now I live my life looking in the rearview mirror, gazing back at all I missed out on. So, son, let this mirror be a reminder and a warning to never get caught looking back. Instead, see the opportunities that God has in front of you. Reach for them, son. Reach higher. And can I say to you, on behalf of our Heavenly Father, don't get caught looking back. But reach for what God has in front of you. Reach higher. In Jesus' name.